So, howdy. I decided to dress up and come to the party. So, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden." So, that may fit who you are and where you're at. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. So when I say things like Jesus never stressed out, but I couldn't say Jesus was never in stressful situations, right? Nobody's ever been put in more stressful circumstances than Jesus. And yet he said his yoke was easy and his burden was light. There were burdens, but he said it was light and the yoke was easy. That's remarkable to me. Again, he just never stressed out. And he says here, if you're weary or heavy laden, he said, I want to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. There are two different words for rest that are used here. One of them landed perfectly. One of them is the word to stop. That's the first one. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You can stop. If I'm walking along a road, a dirt road, there's someone over here digging a ditch, a big ditch, and it's like several feet deep, and they're in there digging by themselves, and they're weary, and they're tired and frustrated. And I were to say to them, I have a shovel. I said, no, I were to say to them, I didn't have a shovel. I kind of said, look, I would like to help. I don't mean I want to get in there and help you dig so you'll be half as weary and exhausted. I mean, I want you to give me the shovel. I want you to get out and quit and let me take over. It says in Hebrews chapter 4 that we get to enter into his rest. Not just rest, but enter into his rest. To enter into his rest means that I enter into the experience of his interior world. How, what his will is like, what his emotions are like, what his thought life is. That's entering into his rest. Does it mean inactivity? It means abiding in his activity. Does it mean there aren't still burdens or stressors? It just means that I'm no longer trying to carry them on my not broad enough shoulders. Come unto me, all you weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My spiritual father tells a story about when he first gave his life to Christ. He was 12. That's similar to my age. And he had a great love for Jesus. And he spent the next 7 years just trying to serve the Lord. By the time he was in college at 19, he was ahead of all these different Christian organizations, working all the time, praying for people, witnessing to people. But in all those 7 years, he had never led one person to Christ, as hard as he had worked. And he reached the point in his life where he was totally exhausted, spiritually and emotionally and mentally. And in his room, his dorm room that night, he was training to be a physician. In his dorm room that night, he said, Lord, I'm done. I love you. I'll never stop loving you. I'm so grateful that I'm going to go to heaven and my sins have been forgiven, but I just can't do anymore. I'm just tired and I'm through. And he said, as if he could hear God say, I'm so grateful. I'm so tired of watching you run around. I've been waiting for this day for 7 years. Because now you can let me take over and do it. And he said within a couple hours, just in the scriptures, he had never heard this story before, Never heard what you've been hearing. God just showed him in the scriptures, because it is the gospel, and it's been the gospel for 2,000 years. There are many people who have written about it, many people have preached about it for the 2,000 years, but he just, God showed him that Christ alone could live the Christian life, and that he would be more than big enough for everything he had ever faced. And so he went to bed that night, and he went to bed that night in hilarious anticipation of waking up the next day and seeing what Jesus was going to do. And he woke up the next day and he started sharing with people, and he led like 7 people to Christ. And from that day forward, he got to discover the wonders of the divine activity being manifested through his humanity. He entered into rest. No longer him striving, trying. It was him trusting and experiencing. Come unto me, all you weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm meek and lowly of heart. The yoke of Jesus, you've heard this taught before, that the yoke is like there's an ox with a yoke around its neck. But for somehow, that yoke is, there are two yokes, like there's a harness here and another one, and it's empty. And so Jesus comes along, he takes that yoke on himself, and you and now Jesus are doing it together, and it's no longer just you doing it. That's nonsense. I've never seen an oxen walking down the road with one yoke and one empty. If it's one ox, it's got one yoke. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus' yoke was, over and over again in John, we may look at that this afternoon, or if we don't, we'll do it Sunday, some of our Sunday. Here's the thing I want you to get. We were talking about this a minute ago, is that it's in the whole book. It's the whole story. What we've been talking about is the whole story. You know, from the moment Adam and Eve fell, he gave the gospel. He said, I'm coming after you. This is the solution. The bruising of the heel, the bruising of the head. And the whole story from that point forward is God's redemptive purposes being moved forward, and was always the same plan. Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, that you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. So your union with Christ and experiencing his relationship with God and his walk with God was always the plan. So the whole book is that. So we can just turn on every page and see it. Old Testament, New Testament. And the yoke, Jesus said over and over again in the Gospel of John, I do nothing on my own initiative. My will is through the will of the Father. I only do those things I see the Father doing. I only say those things I hear the Father saying over and over again. And in John chapter 14, verse 10, it's amazing scripture. See, here's the problem. What's happened to you when you get my age, you've been walking this out for a while. It's not that there's too much time on my hands. I won't have enough to say. I wish we could just do this for days and days and days. Until I saw the popcorn, like Jiffy Pop. I said, did you get it? I can see it in your face. You got it. There's such relief. You've just entered into rest. This is John 14. Jesus says this. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father. It will be enough. Jesus said, when you've seen me, do you not know that you've seen the Father? He wasn't saying he was the Father. But he said, when you see me, you see the Father manifest. He says in verse 10, do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not do to my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. So Jesus, though God, very God, 100% God, was 100% man. He lived on earth as 100% man in absolute total dependence on the Father to be an example for us. He died for us, but he was also an example of us. It says he was continually filled with the Holy Spirit in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Again, the second Adam. And so Jesus was absolutely, totally surrendered to the Father's will, who lived his life through Jesus by the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus lives his life through us by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is saying in the scriptures, you'll be as available to Jesus as he was to the Father. Jesus will be as available to you as the Father was to him. His yoke was his absolute total surrender and childlike faith to the will of his Father in his humanity. Go back and read Philippians chapter 2. It's a doctrine called the kenosis, the self-emptying of Jesus. Jesus said, if you'll just simply trust me in childlike surrender, I'll do through you what the Father's done through me. For he says in John chapter 20, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And that second word for rest, he said, if you come unto me, I'll give you rest, if you're weary, heavy laden, which means to cease. But the second word, and you'll find rest in your souls, is a Greek word for recreation. Find recreation in your soul. See, people tell me all the time, like, I just need to get away. Like, I need to get away. But you know what? And I don't mean this to brag on him. I'm going to brag on him. I don't need to get away. I don't need, like, well, I got to go away because I'm falling apart. He doesn't fall apart, so I don't need to get away. My favorite holidays is to hang out with the Lord and spend time with him and hear more about this life. It's so incredible, so amazing, so limitless. The power of this indestructible life being lived out in me, and so I don't need to get away, but I like to go places at times to see things I haven't seen, you know, eat good seafood, do something like that. And I don't like doing it by myself very much, so since Livia died, I can go somewhere for a couple of days and I get bored. I tried to do a sabbatical one time because somebody told me I was supposed to do a sabbatical. This was years ago. I was supposed to do a 3-month sabbatical. I did like 3 weeks and I was done. I thought, this is crazy. But it's not because I'm a workaholic. The pace that you see me moving at, that's pretty much it. Been this way for years. My mind is always going in the mind of Christ, because it's nothing's more fascinating than the mind of Christ. It's like the ultimate Star Wars adventure. You know, Narnia adventure. But I find that there's recreation in my soul. I've entered into his rest. It's a Sabbath rest. I don't have to do all that. I don't have to do those things. I don't have to get away to get okay. I get away every minute. I'm resting in him. And because I'm resting in him, there's recreation in my soul. I'm not some super deluxe version. It's not my personality type. It's the Bible. It's in the book. Everything I've said to you, I've quoted from this magical book. This deeper magic called grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, Paul referred to himself this way. He said, I know a man in Christ. Wow. See, that's when you know you're set free, when that's how you reference yourself. You understand that's your identity. I'm a man in Christ. You're a woman in Christ. You're a boy or girl in Christ. That's who you are. Everything that you do, everything that you say, everything that you think is filtered through him. God so loved the world. 1 John. He demonstrated his love in us by sending his only begotten son that we might live through him. It is a joy that's unspeakable, full of glory, when you walk that out. Doesn't mean that there aren't times of brokenness and times of brokenheartedness. I've walked through that. But Paul said this amazing thing. He said, even though I sorrow, I'm always rejoicing. So I'm not denying that there are things in this fallen world that hurt. But I'm saying to you that you can walk through the darkness in the light. And when you do, the darkness doesn't overcome it. All of you are going to walk through some dark places in this fallen world. But you can know joy unspeakable, full of glory. Not irresponsibility. Not flippancy about things that are tragic because of this fallen world. But you can walk through a place where you're not living in the darkness. Because Jesus' life is the light of men. Jesus' life is your light. And you can walk through anything and not be overcome by darkness. And even in those hardest places, find recreation in your soul. When Lydia was dying, when she came home, and there was a lot of people in the house a lot, and probably 2 days before she died, I was back in the bedroom with her by herself. And she couldn't communicate, but I knew she could understand what I was saying. And the room was dark. Everybody was in the den in front of the house. And I just broke down, started crying. I said, Lord, I just didn't think it was going to end like this because it was such a surprise. And so there was real genuine sorrow, you know. And so, Lord, I didn't think it would end like this. And I was weeping, and Libby was squeezing my hand. And the Lord said this to me, the strangest thing. He said, Chuck, you're not witnessing the ending of anything. you're witnessing a new beginning. I said, yes, Lord, that's true. She's going to walk. She's not going to have polio ever again. She's going to be free from, she's felt so bad for so long, the pain that she had been in. She was taking 200 micrograms of fentanyl a day, plus four different painkillers, and it wasn't even touching the pain. And she had been walking through that for a while. The fentanyl patches. It was incredible. And I said, yeah, I know, Lord. New beginning. So thank God. He said, Chuck, this is my will for your life, too. It's a new beginning for you. He wasn't saying, oh, boy, a new beginning. Livia's not going to be around. He was just saying, my life isn't over, and my purposes in you aren't done. When Jesus said, I'll make all things new, it's in the present tense. He's always making things new. His mercies are new every morning. And so that God really used that to never let me walk in the darkness. Was I walk in sadness? Did I miss her? Do I still miss her? Yes. But I never walked in despair, because Jesus doesn't do despair. I hope that makes sense. If I'm abiding in him, he doesn't do despair. He's a God of hope. And anything that you're entertaining in your head that's not laced with hope can't be God. Because faith, if we're called to live by faith, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And therefore, in the soil, the seedbed of hope, which is not like wishing something will be, but the word in the Bible for hope is confident expectation. In the seedbed of hope, faith just springs forth per situation. And what God did when he spoke that in my life is that my life, Livia's place in my life and physically was over. Her times were in God's hands, but so was mine. And I knew that. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? I don't want that to sound insensitive. I don't think it. But it was the truth. And so, was it a burden to have lost my wife, to have lost my brother? Is it a burden to do life? Is it a burden to be some of the things that God's called me to do now? Are those burdens? But they're so light. Why? Because I've entered into his rest. My life was his responsibility and still is. And so here's the thing you need to know. So I'm leaning over here because this is where all the people that matter are over here. sheep, goats. Okay. So I don't know how much you know about my life, and there's some things that happen. I don't want to talk about that because I don't want to talk about me. But everything that God's done in my life, every position he's put me in, is to do what I've been doing these last day and a half, is to preach the gospel to Christians. When Paul wrote the book of Romans, which is just the gospel, when he wrote the book of Romans, which was the largest church in the world at the time, he had never been there. He wrote them in chapter 1, verse 16, 17, I look forward to coming to you to preach the gospel to you, to them. The largest church in the world, Christians. And the enemy's done everything he can to steal the body of Christ from understanding how good the good news is. Because he said, the angel said, a good news of great joy for all the people. If you really get the good news, and the good news is that Christ himself has come to live his life through your unique personality, humanity, the life that he always lives. Where all things are new all the time. They're just new all the time. You know, you're walking in works he's prepared beforehand. Just magical stuff just happening all the time. That's just normal stuff. When you understand that good news, how good it is, there's great joy. I can always tell if a Christian doesn't get the gospel, there's not great joy in their life. And it's not a personality type. It's Him. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.